shock women into uncontrolled hysteria, who prey upon the innocence of children.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
I wonder if it isn't all a dream, a nightmare.
He's the Bert to my Ernie. You know him as the podcast heartthrob and master of ceremonies, Johnny Thunder.
Oh, what's going on, genius? How are things up in the mire?
Hey, it's getting a little hairy up in the mire. It's
gross.
Getting a little hairy, a little scary.
Hairy and scary?
I really should do a little manscaping.
So what's going on? You're setting up your puppets. I see you're redoing puppets, all kinds of chicken wire and puppets and puppetry. Nonsense.
Me and Scully have been busy working on the mire, recording this shit for some reason. I don't know. Really slowing down my build time, but you know.
Well, there's that whole pesky crowdsourcing funding thing.
So you might want to honor that
because I just saw that whole story about the couple in New Jersey that raised them up $400,000 for the homeless dude. So you not want to go to jail. So maybe honor your obligations.
Considering we're not anywhere close to that figure.
Sure, money bags. I saw you with your new golden, race car and your platinum rocket jet and everything else.
Who's sponsoring Shock Tales this episode, whatever?
I'm glad you asked, genius. On my end, it's my old standby, and everybody can go GFY if you don't like it. It's Bell's Two Hearted Ale, but I'm sure you, genius, have something much more interesting to regale us with. What are you drinking?
Johnny Thunder, the unofficial spokesman of Bell's Two Hearted Ale.
I wish I got a deal.
At least a free six-pack every once in a while. What the come on.
So, hey, if anybody's out there, please contact them and tell them how much I love this. They can be a sponsor.
All right, sponsoring my side of the table, the better side of the table, Cool Caramels, spelled KOOLKARAMELZ. Just like your mom used to make, kids, if your mom's Snoop Dogg. Made from the best ingredients, raw sugar, heavy cream, butter, corn syrup, vanilla, and 60 milligrams of THC.
Oh my goodness. That was actually made me laugh. Look at you actually making me laugh.
Wow, I was actually clever.
That was a first.
By complete mistake, I was funny.
Exactly. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Last Bar on the Left. My name is Johnny Thunder. And as Baker said, we are serving
also known as Joni Thunderstein.
Well, look. All right, look. That didn't work out so good for me. All right, look. I'm a whore. I'm desperate for airtime. All right? You know, give me a break. All right?
Well, here you go. You get a whole 30 minutes. Go nuts.
All right. Everybody, welcome back to The Last Bar on the Left. As I said, we are serving up Shock Tales. I got a bunch of nonsense this month. We got some movie reviews. We got some other stuff. But I'm going to start off with a couple book reviews and some comic books I want to recommend to everybody. So the first book.
Because you're one of those wicked smart guys. You like
exactly.
All those words.
Found in human flesh and inked in blood.
Putrid print.
So the first one is Freaky Florida, The Wonder House, The Devil's Tree, The Shaman of Felipe Park, and more by Mark Muncy and Carrie Schultz. It's $23.99 and it's 160 pages. Now, of course, Mark Muncy is our show friend, right?
Yeah.
He's the creator.
Big-time supporter, long-time listener, and I think his haunt just got closed up about a year ago or so.
Right. Hellview Cemetery. Yeah. That's right. The charity haunted house down in Central Florida. It was banned by the city of St. Petersburg. He, along with his fiancée, Carrie, who illustrates the book, this is a really, really kick-ass book. This is a follow-up to their first book, Eerie Florida, from 2017. Each year, tens of millions of people flock to the sunny state for its sunny beaches and world-famous tourist attractions. Most never learn about the strange and unusual locations just off the beaten path. Join the authors as they share tales of Florida's myths, monsters, massacres, and legends, and the hidden history behind them. this was such a great, fun book. You learn so much about the history of Florida and also just kind of the weird beat off the beaten path. You know, maybe you want to call them urban legends or ghost tales or stories of murder and, you know, and like we said, supernatural events and so forth. You know, I'm not into ghosts in terms of like going out to hunt ghosts and investigating Sasquatch and stuff, but I love reading the old stories and tales about them. And Mark and Carrie do such a great job capturing all of the craziness going on down there in Florida. So if you're at all into all the stuff that I just mentioned and you're a haunter or you're a Halloween fan, definitely check out this book. I really, really dug it and I totally recommend it. The next one is Frankenfatal by H.J. Bennett. So the premise of this book is that in an alternate reality, Dr. Frankenstein's reanimation of corpses is completely possible. And so in this world, the rich basically get to buy, sell, and trade body parts to achieve physical perfection and uniqueness. Now, there's then a resulting conflict between what they call the warm bloods who have actually survived and the dead who keep completely reanimate themselves. So the story's told from the perspective of reanimated person Rita Venus, who's a self-absorbed undead 80s pop star with a penchant for booze and violence. It's a crazy kind of book. I would definitely say it's for mature audiences only. It's drugs, alcohol, violence, sex, language, and all kinds of craziness. I really think if you're looking for something different, something a little bit fun, more of a sci-fi adult kind of a book, definitely check this one out. Now, moving on to some comic books, Blackwood just wrapped up. It was a 4-issue miniseries from Dark Horse Comics and from one of my personal favorites, Evan Dorkin, who comic fans out there might know from Milk and Cheese and Dork, Milk and Cheese is one of my favorite books ever. It's a college horror comedy that follows four haunted young adults who attend Blackwood College to explore and improve their supernatural powers. But as usually is the case with these situations, there's something ancient and sinister that interrupts their education. Now, Dorkin himself says he kind of took his inspiration from 70s, 80s horror comedies like Fright Night, Reanimator, Night of the Creeps, and Return of the Living Dead, and mixes in some comedies like Animal House, Better Off Dead, and Real Genius. This was really cool. You know what it almost reminded me of? It had more of a like some high school kids and college students going off to Hogwarts or X-Men, something like that. It's really cool, really fun. It should probably be out in trade very soon. So if you're into sort of a supernatural horror comic book that's a little bit lighter, definitely check out Blackwood. Another book that just came out is Joe Gollum, a cult detective. Mike Mignola just put out a new series in his Drowning City series. So, of course, people know Mike Mignola from Hellboy and the BPRD people. If you're into sort of, again, a supernatural investigative detective series, definitely check this out. It's very cool. This one involves a medium and crazy scientist and all your typical Mike Mignola nonsense. So I dug the first issue, and I would look for the rest of them. Now, the last comic I want to plug this month is coming actually on Halloween Day at $3.99 from Ahoy Comics, which is a new imprint. It's called Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror. Famous author and day drunk Edgar Allan Poe introduces tales of suspense, shock, and disgust. Awesome. We're right there, right, dude? So some of these are adapted from Poe's stories. Others are new stories, but it's described as sort of a treehouse of horror crossed with drunk history. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's move on to, you know, Terror Vision.
Hello, darling.
A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight.
Terror Vision.
No, honestly, dude, we could do a whole hour on TV. We could do a whole hour on books. We can do a whole hour on, you know, film. That would be a great show.
That would be a great show. What would we call it? A show that was like an hour long that would talk about horror TV shows, horror comics.
I think it was called Shock Tale Hour.
Hey, that's a great name. We should use that.
It is. I think it was always like 2 hours, which I dug because I always thought it was hilarious that it's called Shock Tale Hour, except it was like 2.5 hours long.
We'll have to start a Patreon campaign for that.
No, look, I can barely do this every other month of this nonsense. Please, my voice is already enough. But the only thing I wanted to say was I want to give a shout out because I bailed on this show a couple of years ago, and I'm totally sucked back in this season. So I want to thank the producers, you know, Ryan Murphy, so far. Again, but I'm always a little trepidatious about getting behind this because I've been tricked in the past. I've been, you know,
pumped.
Exactly. American Horror Story Apocalypse came back on September 12th. And this is the 8th season of the show, and it's going to be 10 episodes this year, and it's described as a crossover season between Murder House and Coven. So far, I'm digging the show. Now, remember, everybody out there, I'm only a couple weeks into this, so by the time the show comes out, if it sucks ass, don't yell at me, all right? I don't want to hear any negativity. But I'm really, really digging the whole post-apocalyptic, we're trapped in the bunker, you know, this whole Antichrist sort of vibe so far. You've got a lot of really scary imagery with the contamination suits and the gas masks and just the general creepiness inside the bunker. The bunker reminded me a little bit of Karloff and Lugosi in The Black Cat, where it was sort of this bizarrely Art Deco kind of vibe, but it's a sort of a modern haunted house, and I definitely got that. Although this place in the American Horror Story reminded me of like a really cool restaurant you'd want to go to, except I wouldn't want to eat the little cube. And spoiler, the best line from the first episode was when they're eating, apparently they're eating, this guy's name was Stu, and they're eating soup, and they're eating stew. And the guy, this guy Stu's boyfriend stands up and screams, "Oh my God, the stew is stew." Like, that was one of the best lines ever in the history of television. So I just want to say that made me laugh. Now, whether or not this holds up, I don't, and there's Joan Collins, dude. I mean, what the hell else do you want besides Joan Collins, you know, playing basically her dynasty character? So far I'm on board, but time will tell. Do you want to go to the movies, Chris?
Yeah, I guess. Is there anything out there? Anything worth seeing?
I don't know. Remember the last time we went to the
recommend?
Movies? I don't know. The last time we went to the movies, Denny fell asleep, and we were in the front row, and we weren't exactly...
You were screaming at the screen.
All right, look, we weren't exactly...
It was really horrible, though.
We weren't exactly in the best state of mind, and the movie was horrible.
Yeah, we were at a Bennigan's or some kind of Applebee's in the parking lot out front of the movie theater. You were doing a shot for like every, no, like two shots for every beer that you drank. And I like hung in there with you for like one, two. Then I'm like, fuck this. I can barely speak right now. And then you kept going. That's why I came up with the name Bulletproof for you. Shot after shot after shot. And no effect. Denny was like calling me a pussy, and he stuck in there with you for like two more. And then, what, 10 minutes later, he's passed out on the front row at the movie theater.
Well, in everybody's defense, we did go see the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, which sucked ass. So it was the perfect storm of bad decisions that evening.
True that.
All right, so you know what's really, really cool? I was really excited about this, dude. Celebrating the 50th anniversary of Night of the Living Dead, they're going to re-release it for two nights this October. It's going to be a restored version of Romero's original classic friggin' film. So if you want to go check it out, I think it's October 24th and 25th in theaters. Of course, my outline does not have the relevant dates. That's awesome. So it's gonna be in theaters for two nights. I think those are the nights, but don't hold them to me. So
kids, it's up to you to do your homework
for this. But here's what I want to say, which is my favorite thing from the Phantom Events website. Okay, it says, you know, celebrating 50 years, blah, 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 blah. Then it says, attention, Night of the Living Dead fans, we want you to have fun at this event, but safety is paramount. Now, here's my favorite part. Please note, attending in costume is fine. However, masks, face-concealing makeup, fake weapons, as well as any costumes that conceal what you are carrying, your natural body shape, or face are strictly prohibited. So, what? So please come in costume, but don't wear a costume. I'm not sure what that says there. So I would probably say, to be safe, don't go in a costume.
Yeah, that's
just
probably...
just go completely obliterated out of your mind and yell at the theater.
You know, listening to our show, you can wear whatever the hell you want.
I mean, I'm completely naked.
You know, we're a constitutional republic, damn it, and we give you those freedoms. You can wear nothing if you want while you listen.
That's what I said. Since it's the Halloween episode, I decided to do this one nude to add to the horror.
By the way, just a little fun fact. I just watched Night of the Living Dead 2 nights ago. So, you know, go figure. What a coinky dink.
Wow. You're awesome.
I am.
You're on top of the pulse of the horror community.
I am, but thanks for saying so.
Awesome.
It makes me feel better about myself.
All right, so let's get to some reviews. It's always the paramount of excitedness on this program, isn't it? A couple months ago, my kid and I went to go see Hotel Transylvania 3.
Too many eyes. Too few eyes. Not into tentacles.
Dad?
Hello? Maybe.
You're stressed out from working too hard. You need a vacation from running everyone else's vacation. And I know just how to fix it.
Mavis, where are we going? A cruise?
Ooh. Surprise!
Oh, no.
Dad! Come on, there's so much to do. You could go scuba diving. Try some exotic food. Or just enjoy the view.
So Count Dracula and company participate in a cruise for sea-loving monsters, unaware that their boat is being commandeered by the monster-hating Van Helsing family. So anybody out there that has kids, or perhaps you just dig Halloween stuff, you know, if you like the first Hotel Transylvania and then Hotel Transylvania 2, it's the same thing. It's fun. It's cool if you have kids. It's actually cool if you don't have kids. But we had a great afternoon. We went out to lunch. We went to the movie. We went to a flea market. So it's, you know, it's everything you expect from Adam Sandler's Hotel Transylvania 3. Nothing inappropriate. A lot of fun. A lot of just, you know, simple jokes and some music and everything else. So if you got a little one, I would definitely recommend that one. But Chris, with your mentality, I think it's right up your alley, even though you don't have little ones right now.
I'm an empty nester, man.
You are. Yeah. You all right? Doing all right with the kids away? And oh, God. Well, you still have Scully, and then you also have to keep you company that, you know, baggie full of sliced ham and KY jelly that, you know, you like to feel special with and feel sexy with on Thursday nights. Light a candle and crack open a bottle of wine and get your sexy time.
Let me make a note. Note to self, buy new vajankle.
You wore out the one I gave you for Christmas already, you heathen. Before I start with the rest of these movies, did you see any of these? Because I want to know where to pause to make you talk.
Yes.
Okay, what did you see?
The Church and Animalistic.
Oh, all right. So I'll get to, let's start with a couple you have not seen. I will get to The Night Eats the World.
You made it through everything. You probably thought you'd drop dead peacefully in your sleep. And then this happens.
Anyone here? Hey!
Do you think there's a cure?
The Night Eats the World is a French film based on the novel of the same name. After waking up in an apartment where the night before there was a party going on, Sam is forced to come to grips with reality. He's now alone, and the living dead have invaded the streets of Paris. Petrified with fear, Sam is going to have to barricade himself inside of the building and organize his own survival. But is he really the only sole survivor? This one actually looked interesting to me because I always dig foreign films, and I always dig the foreign takes on what are traditionally have become American sort of horror tropes, whether it's vampires or werewolves or the cannibal butcher family and so forth. And of course, in this case, it's zombies. This one really bored me to tears. There really wasn't much that I thought was interesting because it really hinges on this character, Sam. It's basically silent. The zombies are silent. He's silent. There's really nothing else going on. So you've got to be engaged in this character and care about what's going on with this cat. And I really didn't find anything that was really that engaging. He made a lot of stupid decisions, did a lot of stupid things. And besides, you know, the fact that it's shot in Paris, which is actually kind of cool, otherwise, it really doesn't offer much. I didn't really think it offered anything at this point to differentiate itself from any other zombie film, and it doesn't offer anything new in terms of horror. So it didn't really do much for me. It didn't really build any sort of suspense, or really wasn't interesting character-wise.
There you are.
Hey, Kendra, check out my new caps.
To get this started officially, okay? I need...
Speaking of Celia needing a drink.
I heard that. About me being a parent to y'all. This way, you can all see the truth of why I'm really here.
Mark, you don't have to prove anything to us.
Gamma, tell me the story of the cursed trunk.
It's very important that I tell you about the cursed trunk.
Oh, goody, 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 yes.
Right here in Salem, Massachusetts, my great-great-great-great-grandmother was killed for practicing witchcraft. The trunk contains a powerful evil that must never escape.
All right, the next one is E-Demon. So on a mission to bring the devil to Earth, an escaped demon manipulates a group of friends hanging out on a video chat. Since this ruthless demon can possess multiple people at once, knowing who to trust is the key to survival. I gotta say, I friggin' hated this movie. This was really, really obnoxious. It's this whole cast of characters who are like, the whole premise is they all went to college together, right? So they're all doing this like video chat to like catch up, and all of a sudden like they're possessed by like demons that are killing each other and everything else. It reminded me of the trailers. I never saw it, but it was like Unfriended and then like Unfriended Dark Web that just came out over the summer, which both looked shitastic, and I could never wait to never see those films. This was just obnoxious. I'm not saying it was badly acted, but the characters were so unlikable, and the idea of like this E-demon like jumping through the video screens, and again, that's cool. You know, it was sort of a different take on presenting the found footage film. I think VHS or VHS2, one of them, did sort of this video sort of chat thing, which again was original, so I don't hate that idea, but I might want to see a little bit more likable characters. So I did not dig E-Demon in the least. I thought there were horrible characters. I couldn't wait for everybody to die. And I was rooting for the monster. Not a good sign. Let's move on to a flick that I did dig. It was called Animalistic.
The company, More Oil, is expected to close a contract with the Australian ambassador, Emma Thompson, who arrives tonight.
Hi, I'm Philippa, the representative for More Oil.
Hi, I'm Emma.
Please sit.
Thank you.
You can just sign here underneath my signature.
I think this deserves a toast.
Cheers.
Need a ride, sweetheart?
I like her.
Thanks, lovely.
Please let me go. What do you want from me?
That's a really good question.
Emma is a businesswoman coming from Australia to the United States to sign a contract. On her way to the press conference, she jumps into a taxi. And much like when Chris and I get into a taxi, we are attacked and drugged by the taxi driver. She wakes up in a chair, tied up, and she's locked away in this filthy cabin. She soon learns that she's the night's amusement for a man named Jim and his loyal associates, Pete and Shirley. Now she must do everything she can to survive. Definitely in the vein of I Spit on Your Grave, The Last House on the Left, a very dark, nasty rape revenge flick. Looks very like it's straight out of the 1970s. It's not high budget. It's nothing new. It's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary in terms of, you know, creativity or something new in terms of filmmaking. But I dug how dark it was. I dug that it was just this sort of little short, nasty flick. And, of course, my favorite is always the whole revenge segment. You know, again, unfortunately, it's only the last 20 minutes or so where she goes balls to the wall and kills everybody that's, you know, been so horrible to her throughout the film. You do have to put up with blatant abuse, rape, and everything else. And I remember a few years ago, there was a flick called Bound to Vengeance, which I dug because it was the same sort of rape revenge film. But the main character, she woke up And 5 minutes into the film, she killed her captor without seeing all the horrible nonsense that he did to her. And then she went out to find all the other women that are being held captive. So you kind of got right to the revenge part, which was awesome. This one, like I said, a little bit more along the lines of I Spit on Your Grave, or the remake of I Spit on Your Grave and I Spit on Your Grave 2. But this one, for whatever reason, I dug it. Not the best thing, not the best acted film, but I really, really enjoy, I don't know if you can say enjoy these kind of films, but I dug this one. I think you could spend a worse way with 80 minutes. So Animalistic for me so far was a thumbs up this month. What about you, Sparkles?
I almost feel guilty about saying that I like this movie.
Right?
That's I needed to go take a shower afterwards. So it's
sure.
Like,
sure.
Yeah. You know,
but
like,
dude, but also what I dug, but let me interrupt too. I forgot to say the practical effects were awesome. Like there were a lot of good practical effects. You know, there's a rapist thrown into a thresher or a wood chipper. You know, there's, you know, ankles being cut off, and there's screwdrivers being put in, and there's throats being slit, but it's practical effects, which was awesome from a hunting standpoint.
I thought they did a great job with the foot. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. I expected cheesier for that kind of a movie, but
budget.
They did. Whoever they had on the effects did a great job. No doubt.
Agree.
Little Tom Savini wannabe there, that little son of a bitch.
All right. So good. So we liked one of them so far, I guess, or two of them, I guess. You know, whatever.
I'll give that one a severed thumbs up. Sure.
All right. Now, the last movie I want to plug this month that I really dug also was The Church, written and directed by first-time filmmaker Dom Frank, filmed here in Philadelphia, PA. We got some good shots of the Art Museum of Center City and some old churches up in North Philly. You got a lot of really actually recognizable actors in this one, which I thought was kind of cool. You got Bill Moseley, of course, we know from the upcoming Three from Hell, Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. You've got Ashley Williams, Lisa Wilcox, Keith Stallworth, a little special appearance at the end by Clint Howard. So this one revolves around there's a church and a pastor. There's a real estate developer who wants to take over this church that's sitting on a plot of land that's standing up this whole redevelopment of a section of Philadelphia. So after a pastor and select members of his congregation agree to sell his family's 100-year-old church to a local developer, their sins begin to manifest in front of their eyes, and all hell breaks loose inside the church. Dun, dun, dun. I had fun with this. Again, it was very short, very straightforward. You know, you've got a lot of very recognizable veteran horror actors in this one, which I thought was kind of cool. And it was a fun little story. You know, I didn't realize that it was going to end up, it was almost the reverse of, say, a zombie flick, where they're trapped inside of a building and they're trying to shore up their defenses against something coming from the outside. This one, all the main characters are trapped inside the church and can't get out for one reason or another. You learn it's because of their various sins and so forth. So I will say, on the downside, the special effects. Now, you know, again, a small budget flick like this doesn't really have the money to spend on special effects.
I was going to say, where did they get the budget to pay ILM to do all this amazing CGI work? Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Right. So I dug this one. I thought it was fun. Like I said, it was fun to see Bill Moseley and a bunch of the other people in it. It was like nice to see, I said, obviously, some of the Philadelphia. But I thought it had a good story. You know, I thought it was pretty entertaining, and I had a good time with this. So I dug this one.
You know, the best thing about this movie is that it was short. It was very short.
Oh, come on. You're hateful. I like Bill Moseley. I'll watch Bill Moseley do anything.
I mean, you know who really stole the show, though? That guy who played Andre,
Vito, the
global investor.
Oh, the plate
stole
Satan,
the show with his method acting. He was,
Well, I think he's actually Romanian, dude. No, really? I think he is. I looked it up on IMDb.
He is. I looked it up as well. And,
yeah.
But, wow.
All right, all right, look, I drink.
You were drinking way too many Bell Too Hearted ales that night, I think.
All right, look, don't listen to Baker. If you just roll with it, it was fun. I dug it, all right? Look, you know what? And this is just one asshole's opinion. You don't have to listen to me, but I'm usually right, so don't listen to Baker.
Okay? At least it was, you know, slightly better than The Last Jedi. So, you know.
All right. So are we done?
Did we just blast through all those? Shit, that was quick.
So listen, I'm going to sign off with a Halloween toast. Do you want everybody? Yeah, everybody hoist up the drinks. All right, here we go.
Get your freaking glasses up, kids.
Yeah, get it up. Get it up, dude. Get it up. All right.
Boing.
Here's to the witches. Here's to their cats. Here's to the hoot owls and whirring bats. Here's to the ghosties in robes of white. Here's to the thrills of Halloween night. Cheers, man.
Salute.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. This is Johnny Thunder saying happy Halloween and stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.